Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
B-Pod Studios.
Toucher.
Our only concern is your condition.
Rich.
This guy is a piece of work, huh?
Toucher and Rich. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Let's play ball, it's game day. We want strikeouts, base hits, double plays. Take the field, hear the roar on the crowd. Come on, Marlins, make us proud. Come on, Marlins, make us proud. Keep hoping and dreaming that you will soar. With a little faith and love, you will soar.
One strike, two strikes, swing away. A diving catch, a stolen base.
The perfect union of baseball and butt rock.
Dude, I couldn't believe that was real. I had to ask Wallach, is this real?
That is Scott Stapp of Creed doing a song for the Marlins. Okay, if you want to, don't mean to sidetrack. If you want to laugh your ass off, it might be the one thing that I see probably like once, maybe twice a year. It pops up on my Twitter timeline, and it makes me laugh every single time. Right around, what do you think the Creed heyday butt rock year was? Probably like 99, maybe like 2000. Right around 99 or 2000, Creed played the halftime of the Thanksgiving show at a Dallas Cowboys game.
Don't stop dancing.
And they did so higher, bad. You know, take me higher. And
I watched it.
They had a dude as they were singing on the football field there at Cowboy Stadium. There was a dude dressed like an angel that in the middle of the song ran out and flew into the crowd. And while Creed's singing higher at this football game, and it's the most awkward, failed Cirque du Soleil thing you've ever seen to the soundtrack of the butt rockiest of the butt rock songs of all time. Can you take me high? It's like, if you don't understand what we're actually talking about, it's about angels. And then this guy just goes flying out, and he's like this total like frosted tipped angel. It's like a 90s douchebag like Guy Fieri angel floating through the sky, and it's one of the more ridiculous things I've seen on a football field. That is actually saying a lot.
It's sad. I think Scott Stapp really was talented, and I liked Creed for like a period of time.
And you know what? We missed out. Both of us, both you guys, we missed out. Scott Stapp had a concert scheduled in Boston this summer that got canceled. We had our opportunity.
Damn you, pandemic.
I know.
Yeah, well, I mean, the Marlins obviously covering themselves in glory between the Scott Stapp song and the big home run machine that's in the outfield.
I'm watching it, Rich, right now. I'm going to tweet it out.
Oh, it's the great.
A minute in, I'll tweet it right now.
When the angel comes out, it's like
the angel looks like Henry Rollins.
Easy on the Henry Rollins, but I mean, yeah, the Marlins covering themselves in glory because not only they obviously had, you know, that awesome song that was commissioned by Scott Stapp of Creed, not even all of Creed, you just had to get Scott Stapp, couldn't afford everyone, Alter Bridge making too much money, but you had
Mark Tremonti.
Remember that interview? Remember the interview we had? Johnny Damon came on, but we had the lead singer of Alter Bridge. You guys had to talk to him for about 10 minutes.
God, I don't even remember.
Yeah,
that.
We wanted Johnny Damon, and Johnny Damon was on the phone. But in order to get Johnny Damon, who is a big fan of Alter Bridge, he wanted you. We had the lead singer of Alter Bridge on, and you had to talk to him for about 15 minutes to get 5 minutes out of Damon at the end of it.
Are you kidding me? That's something that actually happened?
Boy,
my memory is gone.
That actually, it was at the beginning, first couple of years of the show. It was really funny.
Oh, that's, and you know what? We've done that before, like when we've been required to like talk to somebody, and like there's been times where we've just completely ignored the superstar and only talked to the other guy just to piss the superstar off.
This was a reverse of that.
Okay. All right. Because, well, Johnny Damon and Alter Bridge, like he was like down with the old butt rock dudes.
I don't know why he was down with them.
I remember this.
But we wanted Johnny Damon. We wanted him badly on the program.
We had to go through the Kennedy of Alter Bridge.
Correct.
Is that what it is?
Yes.
Oh, how great is that? We need to dig that up.
Yep.
That needs to be dug up. Oh, that's I'm losing my mind. I used to be able to remember everything that we did, but that, and you would think I would remember that one, but I did not. But nonetheless,
yeah, Johnny Damon sang with Alter Bridge before.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, no, I remember this. This had to be like I remember this happening. This says 2006 when I'm looking.
No,
at
it, it had. I'm thinking 2011, somewhere in there.
Well, I guess back then he did.
No, but I mean that's the when we had him on.
Find that Johnny Damon sang for like Creed minus Scott Stapp. So he was Scott Stapp.
Yeah, I have the video right here. I'll send it to you
with Johnny Damon.
I'm looking.
Send it to.
Yeah, because who was the lead singer of Alter Bridge?
It was Miles Kennedy.
Okay, that's all right.
Dan is telling me, which I didn't know that right off the top. I know Mark Tremonti, who's the real talent behind
it. Okay, I got the video right here. I'm watching Johnny Damon on stage with Alter Bridge.
Okay, mm-hmm. All right. So, all right, send that to him. But somebody said you couldn't be more wrong about Creed's halftime show. It rules. Oh, it was just the best. I mean, it was like, we're going to bring the house down with faith, hope, and love, and an angel that looks like Guy Fieri. I mean, it was just, it couldn't have been any more perfect for exact. I mean, it was like it was 1999 or 2000, just in a time capsule right there. Oh God! And then of course you had the Marlins organization when they opened up Marlins Park. They said, you know what? We got another cool idea. Let's have this gaudy as hell like construction piece in the outfield that when someone hits a home run, these giant like fish and stuff start jumping around like fake fish with this Art Deco type art piece, and this song would be playing.
Stanton's rounding the bases. Yep.
And nobody's there to watch.
That's right.
Apparently, everybody, even like Marlins fans, hated it so much that there was a petition to get rid of it. And wasn't that one of the few things that Johnny Damon did when he showed up? It was he said, all right, we're getting rid of that. Derek Jeter. When Derek Jeter showed up, wasn't that one of the first things he did? He was like, all right, that's gone.
This is ridiculous. Get rid of this thing.
This is pretty awful. All right, well, we got to get to what... So yesterday was the first time that you had Derek Jeter speak to the press about the huge outbreak that the team had, which put their season on hold and affected a bunch of the other teams. And, you know, there's questions about where these guys were. Did they end up going out to these nightclubs? They sneak out? And he had to answer questions from the press. And this dude is the worst liar that I have heard. He's just, it was an embarrassment yesterday, but it was pretty damn funny, much like the Creed halftime show. We will get to that audio right after this.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling help. HelplineMA.org.
There's always a reason for better health, and here's Carlo with his.
My program with Awaken 180 actually started when my daughter was born, and at that time, I was over 300 pounds. I felt I owed it to her to better myself and my family, of course. And I'll never forget, it was my fourth week I came in and my goals for that week were not met. And they found the positive in everything. And that was the biggest thing for me. Awaken 180 has provided me confidence, not only in my day-to-day eating, it's my day-to-day role as a father, as a friend. And that's something that for the longest time, I didn't have.
The benefits are endless after losing weight with Awaken 180. Carlo dropped his 84 pounds, and he did it in under 4 months. Scale results, life results, with the solution for weight loss online at awaken180weightloss.com.
Sports Hub. Toucher.
Like, I didn't really pay attention to it, and now I'm pissed.
Rich.
Put the dress as an ape and jump out of the bushes.
Toucher and Rich. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Five of Sports Hub. It is Toucher and Rich. Great news yesterday for the NHL. We got another week of COVID-19 tests in the bubble. Zero positives, despite Tuukka Rask hitting that button on his app that said he had a cough, which, of course, a bunch of red lights went off and he had to sit back and miss this past Sunday's game. But, hey, great news. NBA, things are working out as well. The MLS, it's been working out for weeks there now, even though you probably aren't watching any of it. But when it comes to baseball, Dave, it's just a cluster F all over the place. There's games being canceled. People aren't following protocol. The Cardinals, they've had to cancel a bunch of games recently. How many? 13 members of the St. Louis Cardinals organization tested positive. And there was John Heyman yesterday had a report that a bunch of the guys had gone to a casino and broke protocol, which obviously you're not allowed to do. And the GM of the Cardinals yesterday was asked about that. And he said, I have no factual reason to believe that they went to the casino, and I have not seen any proof of that. If they were at a casino, though, that would be disappointing. So he's not denying that it indeed happened, even though despite reports. But Derek Jeter yesterday absolutely had some explaining to do. The Marlins were the first one to kind of set this big cluster F into space through within, what, 4 days of the season being open? We had our first.
Yeah. They played three games.
Yeah. They had three games, and they had been in Atlanta, and then they headed to go play the Phillies, and that's when all hell broke loose. And that's when you started to hear reports of different players on the team getting infected. And by the time it was all said and done, almost 45% of the team that was traveling together were infected. Now, how does this happen? Where did this all come down, and who got infected, and what protocols did they not follow? This is something that obviously baseball wants to get to the bottom of, because they got to figure this out. They got to figure out what went wrong, try to fix it. The NFL is looking at this saying, how the hell did this happen? And it seems to, now, there were reports, a ton of reports that came out that said that while the team was in Atlanta, they went to go to a bunch of nightlife. You know, some people were saying it was strip clubs. Some people were saying it was bars. And then the Major League Baseball said they did their own internal investigation and said, no, that really wasn't it at all. We believe that it happened on this plane from Delta that we had chartered. And then the CEO of Delta said, if you're going to bring our name into this, we're going to tell you that during this entire pandemic, we have not had one person that has blamed us for getting anybody infected. So
good on Delta. Good for Delta, by the way.
Yeah. Hell yeah. If you're like a corporation that has, it's already right now hurting really bad. I mean, you're cutting like jobs all over the place. You know, your stock's probably not doing great during all of this. You're saying the last thing we want is for us to be blamed for the end of baseball. So they came immediately out and said, hey, there's no proof that it was us that did it. You better check your own players. And so now Derek Jeter had to sit down and explain some things. So this was his first session with the media after all of this went down, and Derek Jeter had this to say about everything.
We did have a couple individuals leave the hotel. In our review, it was determined we had guys leave to get coffee, to get clothes. The guy left to have dinner at a teammate's house. There were no other guests on site. There was no salacious activity. There's no hanging out at bars, no clubs, no running around Atlanta, no running around the town. What it boiled down to on this particular trip was guys were around each other, they got relaxed, and they let their guard down. They were getting together in groups. They weren't wearing masks as much as they should have. They weren't social distancing. You know, everyone was getting tested. We went the whole spring training 2.0 without a positive. And the entire traveling party got a little too comfortable. Should they have been doing that? No. And that's been addressed.
Okay, so John Heyman had a tweet yesterday where he said that the players, one of the players said they had gone out for milk. And by the way, I listened to the entire Derek Jeter thing. He never said that, so I don't know if that was just some sort of like inside scoop that he got. Ooh. Scoops Heyman out there. Heyman hasn't been really covering himself in glory as of late. But still, like, dude, I'm going out to get some milk. Sure, man, if that's what you want to call it. I mean, the fact that they did – how dare – and he was like finger-wagging, too, at the press. Like, he was angry, saying, how dare you call out my players for being reckless?
In terms of the rumors out there, I think our players are annoyed by the rumor. I think they're the ones that, you know, they've had multiple conversations and they let me know early on in this whole process that they weren't true. So we waited for our review. We waited for MLB's review. And I think it just seems like that's the narrative out there, is that our guys were reckless in Atlanta and out and about and on the town. And it just wasn't the case. So now I wanted to clarify that.
You just said they were. You admitted that they broke protocol. Like, you can't go to just go shopping for clothes. You can't go and go over to other people's houses. That's part of the rules. There's players who want to win. There's players who are doing this right, who are relying on teams not to be filled with jackassery and to follow the rules. This isn't just like, no one's going to notice. Dude, you infected the entire, like a half of your team. And now he's like wagging his finger. How dare they call us reckless? You were, by definition, reckless.
You know what? I just want to add something here. This was going to happen. I mean, you're dealing with a bunch of 20-year-olds who have, you know, they think that they're bulletproof and they're not paying attention and, you know, they're trapped in their hotel and they're on the road and they're bored as hell and they want to get out and do stuff, and packs of them went out and did stuff. It was going to happen to a major league team. If you do not have a bubble in which to exist in, where there are stringent rules and policies, all of this is going to happen to you. Now, having said that, Derek Jeter's response was awful. That's the problem here. Derek Jeter, who is a first ballot Hall of Famer and has a reputation that's impeccable as a player, has now joined the ranks of a lot of great players that have tried to be upper management and have failed. I mean, but Jeter's reputation as an owner and as an executive is horrible. You remember he went to Florida and fired everyone in the front office, including Andre Dawson, who Marlins fans loved. And he swept everyone out of there. His team has not been good. They've cut everybody with a salary worth a damn. And then, you know, rightfully so, the media is like, your players are irresponsible, and Jeter's trying to defend this behavior? It's insane.
Well, I mean, at one point, like he was trying to be like, I don't know how this happened.
There is no way to identify how this got into our clubhouse. But any activities on Tuesday night were not it. The entire traveling party is responsible for not following the protocols as is instructed. That includes coaches, staffs, and players. You know, everyone has seen the impact. They've seen their teammates get sick, and I know they all have a new level of appreciation. Hopefully, you know, this has been a wake-up call for everyone, not only on our team, but the rest of baseball and sports in general.
I mean, it was great, too, because, first of all, I mean, he just contradicted himself. He had no idea it wasn't the activities of Tuesday night, but we don't know how, you know, how it was there or whatever.
Yes, you do. You know exactly how it happened.
Because you're team jacked around, and I don't even care. See, I don't even care if it was just funny that they went to the strip club. They won't talk about it because everyone just wants to try to keep all this wholesome. Everything you described was something that you weren't supposed to do. And it's something that, you know, the Phillies players were pissed because they missed games. And I've heard all these coaches, and it's true, almost in baseball more than a lot of sports, is that to stop and then start again is so tough for these, especially when it comes to pitching. You know, we know this. These guys have the rotations, they have the routines, and to be able to stop and like start all over again is really tough for these guys. And so, obviously, the Phillies players were upset with the Marlins, and he addressed.
Well, I think it goes back to when we played Philly. We followed in terms of when guys were testing positive. We those guys did not go to the ballpark. Those guys stayed back at the hotel, and it's not just our decision to go out there and play a game. I mean, everyone is notified, right? It's Major League Baseball's notified. The Phillies are notified. The Marlins are notified. And we went out and we played the game. I mean, we follow what the rules and regulations that are in place. It's not like any organization independently decided to go out and play.
Well, I mean, once again, you know, it's like before all of that happened, you jacked around and Jeter was like, all right, if you're going to ask me questions, I don't want you to ask me questions about the protocols we broke that almost completely hijacked the entire season.
Yeah.
Here's what I want you to ask me about.
Some of our traveling party had a false sense of security and comfort and how they handled themselves when we left Miami. I'm hoping that the first question today is about the health of our players who've tested positive, because it really has been disheartening to not read anything about that or see many signs of empathy for what they're going through. Instead, you know, we continue to hear and read about rumors about our players' actions in Atlanta.
Empathy?
And we need to stop that.
Empathy?
Our team and our players deserve better than that.
I mean, he just couldn't have handled this any worse.
It's their own fault. Empathy. Empathy by ass. You almost shut down an entire sport because your players are irresponsible.
I bet you he's one of the owners that didn't want to play, like, to have a season. He's probably one of these guys where it's like, dude, I can't trust my own players. I mean, seriously, those are a bunch of kids. The Marlins are a bunch of kids in Miami, by the way. Like, how do you not expect these guys to go run out and grab milk and empanadas and stuff like that?
As I said, this is going to happen. I mean, there's too many young kids out there playing. Too many young major leaguers. You can't keep everyone trapped, especially if there are no protocols to keep them there.
Well, somebody said Jeter sounds like the parent who attends a parent-teacher's conference and denies the bad behavior of their child and blames the teacher.
Yes. Let's not talk about the children. Let's talk about how we can be better.
Well, okay, so how does this make you feel about the NFL, or even worse, college football? Because there was the University of Texas yesterday put out a warning that said that they are banning parties on the campus of the University of Texas.
That'll work.
No
one parties in Austin. Yeah. It's such a dull, boring town. Yeah, I'm sure that'll stop everything.
Or one of these other schools.
I mean, Austin's the best.
Exactly.
And I can imagine a UT party is probably just next level insane.
But it's not just them. It's not just Texas.
What's going on with Washington State?
The Pac-12. There are hundreds of Pac-12 football players that are banding together to try and negotiate with the NCAA for safety. And there are Pac-12 coaches that want nothing to do with it. The Washington State head football coach is cutting guys that want to get involved in this situation. There are players on his team that are opting out, and he's fine with that. But as soon as he found out that these players are also joining this massive movement for the safety of all the football players in that conference, he's cutting them, including one guy who was just starting defensive end last year for them.
There was a really good, I forget which conference it was. It might have been the SEC, because I know the Pac-10 came together and they did this union thing. It was actually really good. Like, they're saying, we demand these rights if you're going to make us play in this. And I thought it was very thoughtful, well written out. But I think it might have been the SEC. Somebody attained audio of a phone call that they did with some of the athletes who are to be playing football this year. And like, one of the athletes was like, would you have your own kids do this? And one of the answers of one of the heads of the SEC was like, well, my son is playing a 12-year-old baseball right now, and everything seems to be going well. I mean, they've got no answers for any of this. The bubble is amazing. Like, and the thing is, too, is that you're watching it, and you forget what's going on. You forget all that stuff because it's working so well. And it's almost like it feels good to watch that.
Rich, the product is really good.
And there's not random guys and games being canceled and things like that. You know, you cancel a couple games in baseball, it sucks. It's not good. Dude, you know how much one canceled game in the NFL matters?
Yeah.
Like, that's a big deal.
You're able to watch games and not think about anything. Like, Anthony Davis had a huge game last night for the Lakers. Connor McDavid had a hat trick for the Edmonton Oilers last night.
I mean, the Nets-Wizards game was good.
Right, you watch these games and you forget about... That's the thing. It's normal. That's the thing. And there's no way you can be normal playing baseball this year. And there's no way you can be normal playing an NFL game this year either. That's the thing.
Oh, Jeets. I mean, he couldn't have handled that any worse yesterday. And I just love it. It's like, this better be, you better be worried about the guys on my team because they've done, they're little angels. They didn't do anything wrong except for F it almost for everyone because they didn't follow the rules. All right. We will get to some other things. By the way, Chris Forsberg is going to be on with us at 8 o'clock. He's going to talk about the Celtics. He obviously is the guy with the great hair for NBC Sports Boston. And it's getting tougher for them to get that second seed because of some games that were played yesterday. But is that the end of the world? Is the road to the Eastern Conference Finals going to be that tough? We will get to him in just a little bit. First, here is Joe Murray's headlines.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling help. HelplineMA.org.
There's always a reason for better health, and here's Carlo with his.
My program with Awaken 180 actually started when my daughter was born, and at that time, I was over 300 pounds. I felt I owed it to her to better myself and my family, of course. And I'll never forget, it was my fourth week. I came in, and my goals for that week were not met. And they found the positive in everything, and that was the biggest thing for me. Awaken 180 has provided me confidence, not only in my day-to-day eating, it's my day-to-day role as a father, as a friend. And that's something that for the longest time, I didn't have.
The benefits are endless after losing weight with Awaken 180. Carlo dropped his 84 pounds, and he did it in under 4 months. Scale results, life results, with the solution for weight loss online at awaken180weightloss.com.
Sports Hub. Boston sports fans start their day with Toucher and Rich.
There's a disagreement here in studio.
How unusual.
I'll tell you what, it's what makes us different that makes us great.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Five Sports Hub, it's Toucher and Rich. I just, during the break, I was watching a new trailer for a movie coming out called The Honest Thief. It's a Boston, it was, the reason I clicked on it is because it was described as a Boston crime movie. I'm like, oh boy, let's get ready for some stereotypes. But this one was starring Liam Neeson, and which, how weird is it that over the last 15 years, Liam Neeson has been one of the most bankable action stars? Like, it's always like he's like Captain Kick-Ass. It's like, yeah, The Rock and Liam Neeson.
Yeah, but he does the same movie over and over and over again.
I liked him in his cameo in Ted 2, whatever. He's like at the grocery store, and he's like, what should I do? And I was like, hey, I just always think, yeah, you're right. You know, he kind of plays the same guy, and he's gotten over big time.
Somebody line pointed him at the grocery store, was like Johnny Gomez style. Did he take care of business?
No, actually, yeah. It was kind of like one of those, what do? Do I get the Lucky Charms or, you know? Yeah.
But the one thing about these Boston movies is, I mean, first of all, obviously, like, it's very rare that someone nails it. Like, you know, it's everyone's a character or a cartoon usually in Abby's movies. But in this one, it looked fine. It looked like, once again, Taken. You know, all of Liam Neeson's action movies look like a version of Taken. Taken 1 through 40. I mean, they're all basically the same movie. And it didn't look half bad until at one point it showed that they were going to go to a city like just outside of Boston, and they go walking into the Charleston Hotel. They didn't say Charlestown. They got the name of the city wrong. And in the trailer, it's the Charleston Hotel that they go walking into. And I was like, all right, man. Just, you need somebody who's a continuity director on the set, or just at least a local that kind of knows what he's doing. And, you know, living downtown, you see those, you know, because Boston gives the best tax credits and all this stuff. And they've got these, you know, trailers set up everywhere. And there's been somewhere Boston's featured. But like Boston doesn't have like the greatest track records of really good movies here. Now, you've got the couple Affleck ones, which were good. You know, Gone Baby Gone is excellent. That's really good.
So I loved Good Will Hunting, and maybe that's just me growing up, but I loved Good Will Hunting.
Okay, Gone Baby Gone and The Town, I'll give.
I thought Spotlight really was spectacular.
Black Mass, right?
Well, Spotlight was really good, too. Good Will Hunting, let's talk about Good Will Hunting. Good Will Hunting might be one of the most overrated movies of our generation.
Disagree.
Have you listened to the dialogue in that movie?
Yeah.
There's the part where they're sitting there in the restaurant, and they go, hey, do you like apples? And he goes, why, yes, I do indeed enjoy these apples. Why would you ask me such a strange question late at night at a bar or restaurant? And he goes, well, because I got a phone number. How you like them apples?
I got a number.
Like, well, that was screaming. He was screaming at him through a window.
I got a number.
That was like a walk-off.
Okay, here's how that goes in real life. Hey, you like apples? Trying to set up like a really genius, I got you punchline. Someone says, you like apples? Say, shut the F up. What are you talking about apples for? Get the F out of here. You know, no one goes, sure, I like apples. Who says that?
You're picking out one thing, and it did. It sucked.
About a girl.
Come on. Oh, yeah, I know. He missed the 1975 World Series because of a girl. That's the point. That's the point of the movie.
That was the worst dialogue. Okay. That movie had the corniest dialogue.
You didn't like what Ben Affleck's like, hey, man, if you're here in 20 years doing the same thing, I'll beat you. Oh, I don't like
that.
Growing up in the city. How many kids have never left their town? You can see that's the thing. I think you have to beef from here, man.
You don't get it, dude.
Like, people never leave their towns in every other state in the world.
Here.
You guys can't see past your own stupid city going,
far above it all. Yeah. I can't believe you're going with this.
You can't step away because somebody flies a stupid, like, Boston Red Sox flag and goes, oh, it's a good movie.
And you're Mr. World Traveler that knows everything.
Goodwill, come on.
I can tell when something's crap and I'm not blinded
Goodwill Hunting is not a good movie.
It is a good movie. Absolutely a good movie. Okay, hang on.
It's about a punk kid from the city who lived in orphanages and like, pretty much was this genius.
It's not your fault.
Who didn't want to. Yeah, it's not his fault. That's it's the part of the movie.
Fault. It's not your fault.
He meets another guy who lost all. He lost everything. Same issues.
So you're okay. I bet you like that Spencer Unclassified movie.
I did watch it,
and it sucked. It was awful.
Sure. You were loving it when she goes, go suck.
Yeah, no.
But listen,
was there a scene like that in Good Will Hunting?
No,
honestly,
there wasn't.
There was not.
No.
Spencer, don't you dare put Spencer Confidence in the same universe as Good Will Hunting. You should be ashamed of yourself.
You're blinded because they mentioned Dorchester at one point.
No, not at all.
I bet you like Fever Pitch.
No, Fever Pitch sucks. That was another crappy movie. It's an embarrassment to Boston.
That guy being the Red Sox fan, Jimmy Fallon's making fun of Boston people. It was awful. He's terrible. He's a lousy actor. They should have had anybody else play a Red Sox fan except that guy.
I thought The Fighter was well done. The Town was very good.
Yes. Manchester by the Sea was the saddest movie I've seen. Excellent movie.
But that's a really good movie.
So you're going to discount that?
So Mystic River was very good.
Mystic River, I liked Ted.
I like a lot of good Boston movies.
Mystic River, good movie.
Gone Baby Gone. And of course, you're missing out on the two classics, The Boondock Saints and Blown Away.
Boondock Saints.
Boondock Saints sucks.
Of course,
Boondock Saints.
I'm kidding.
You want to talk about one where people are blind because, hey, by the way, I believe most of the Boondock Saints was filmed in Toronto.
Yes,
they just got a couple of shots. Like there was this. First of all, the Boondock Saints, awful, not good. Boondock Saints 2 is so good that it's so bad that it's great. Judd Nelson was the main bad guy.
Remember, we had all those guys in the studio.
Yeah, and Norman Reedus ended up going on to be a pretty big name in the Walking Dead, and it was right before all that started. And they all came in studio, and I just had sat through it, and I'm like, it was like one of the worst 2 hours of film. Right. It was so bad. The production value just absolutely sucked in that
movie. But movies about Boston, Black Mass, good movie, right?
The Departed, I thought was very good.
You know what movie it is set in Boston, but not about Boston, is that Denzel Washington, The Equalizer, right?
Very good, yep.
That is set in Boston, but Boston's not the main part. Yeah.
And listen, I know the guy who made the movie Selfie. That was made to be what it was. It was terrible. But that's what it was made to be. You know, what was the one when they kidnapped Deion Sanders? Those are just bad movies. They made these things to be bad movies. But I don't know. I
see about a girl.
Goodwill Hunting. Listen,
Goodwill.
Good
you don't
movie.
Know. You don't know the. Oh, that you. That you
I
pissed
bet you
me
liked
off.
Patriots Day. I bet you thought that Mark Wahlberg's character in Patriots Day.
No,
was
that's another
awesome.
Movie. That
another
was
bad
awful.
One.
That was
bad.
Another movie. No, we're being honest. That's a bad movie.
Goodwill Hunting
Ted.
Is a good
Ted,
movie.
Ted was good. Ted was a good Boston movie. That was one that actually was funny, and despite it, you know, having Wahlberg in it, he was great. He was
really
good. I
can't believe you compared Spencer Confidential to Good Will Hunting.
It
shame
is
on
because,
you.
Because both of them are wildly overrated.
How is Spencer Confidential overrated?
It's going to be up for an Oscar. We know that. And the girl who screams, "Go socks," while being, you know, getting Spencer making sweet love to her in the bathroom, you know she's going to be up for Best Actress.
My biggest problem with that movie is it got so many hits on Netflix, Wahlberg might make another one.
That's... How do you like them apples might be the dumbest setup to a line
dude,
ever.
Fine.
In 1996, that was cool. It was about a dude who's talking to some chick from Harvard.
That line was never cool. Rich is right about that.
Yeah, but whatever.
But the movie
memorable.
In general, it's great.
That movie's really good.
Do you like apples?
Yeah.
Who says that?
No I got a number. How do you like them apples?
Oh, you're so cool the way you came up with that line. And he had to actually answer exactly that way for you to be able to deliver it. Who does that?
I conceded that point. That line sucks, but the movie is good.
The movie is excellent.
You're blinded by your Boston-y Boston
stuff.
Watch
the movie.
Just threw Boston
go watch
stuff
the movie.
At you.
Then you get on your little thing. You go out in your dinghy in Nantucket, go home, and watch the damn movie.
What else do you have to do, exactly?
Well, listen, you want to talk about movies that are great Boston. Well, let's not forget about One Crazy Summer. That's a great Massachusetts movie. You know, when the guy gets dug underneath the sand and the woman gets the big can of beans and farts on his head and blows the big hole in the sand. Like, that's one of the best Massachusetts movies of all time.
That's fine.
And it's better than Goodwill Hunting. Goodwill Hunting, wildly overrated.
Oh, I so disagree with you. It's not even funny. Like, listen, if you want to go at, like, hey, these other movies, the Goodwill Hunting is a good flick, good cast. And I think it's got a great storyline, great plot and everything.
And you didn't like the Boondock Saints.
I watched the Boondock Saints. I liked it, but I mean, I agree with you.
Now I can't trust your judgment.
Yeah,
on
but
anything.
Here's the deal. That was good. Saints, it was good when it came out. Now that I watch it, it sucks.
No, it was good because your friends told you it was good.
No, dude, it wasn't even made in Boston. It was made in Toronto. How do I like that movie?
Because they said they were from Boston, and all your dumb friends said, dude, it's a Boston movie. Look at him.
Now he's going after your crew. That's not good.
Hey, listen.
That's not good. You better back up.
The movie Mystic River was made at Doyle's at the bar I grew up at, which is no longer open. But, like, I feel like I was a part of that damn movie because it was there so much. And, like, that was a good movie, Mystic River.
What are you doing upstairs? What are you doing upstairs with that glove? You making love to the glove? Oh, gross, man. What are you doing with the glove? Yeah, that's a real conversation.
They forced Casey Affleck in that movie. He didn't need to be.
Of course, everything in that movie.
Well, it's because he's Ben's damn brother. That's why he's in the movie. That's why he was in that movie. They did not need little Casey Affleck in that movie.
Mm-hmm. Well, they needed a punching bag in that car of the four of them. Yeah.
Yeah, but every day I drive up to your house, I hope you... Dude, that was a good storyline.
Celtic Pride was better.
No, it was not. Oh, my God.
Celtic Pride knew what it was. Like, Celtic Pride knew what it was.
Yes, we watched it because it was stupid.
Yeah, Dan Aykroyd and Daniel Stern. That's why.
Go watch it now. You'd laugh. Like, you'd actually laugh.
Oh, you were so wrong about Good Will Hunting. I'm sorry.
That's not wildly overrated. Wildly overrated. No question about it.
Nope.
No question about it. I want to see what it went up against that year. Like, for, like, best script.
97? 96?
I don't know. But I just, whatever.
So Robin Williams' Academy Award is wildly overrated. He was terrible.
Robin Williams isn't good. Like, I can't stand Robin Williams. You know that. That's a bit of a...
Well, that's a personal preference thing. I thought he was excellent in that movie.
Go See About a Girl.
Yeah, but, like, do you get it? He lost, like, that's what the whole thing's about. Like, this kid who has nothing going on in his life.
He understands it. He just chooses to ignore it to keep his narrative going. That's fine. You don't like it? That's great.
Someone just said, massive plot twist. A lot of Good Will Hunting was also shot in Toronto.
Except for most of Robin Williams' scenes, which were shot on location at Bunker Hill Community College.
And we're getting people saying that, hey, how dare you? Celtic Pride is a fantastic movie.
Oh, there God, did that suck.
All right, 617-779-0985. We'll be right back.
visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
There's always a reason for better health, and here's Carlo with his.
My program with Awaken 180 actually started when my daughter was born, and at that time, I was over 300 pounds. I felt I owed it to her to better myself and my family, of course. And I'll never forget, it was my fourth week. I came in and my goals for that week were not met. And they found the positive in everything. And that was the biggest thing for me. Awaken 180 has provided me confidence, not only in my day-to-day eating, it's my day-to-day role as a father, as a friend. And that's something that for the longest time, I didn't have.
The benefits are endless after losing weight with Awaken 180. Carlo dropped his 84 pounds and he did it in under 4 months. Scale results, life results, with the solution for weight loss online at awaken180weightloss.com.
The Sports Hub. This is not your conventional sports radio show.
It's become painfully clear.
Dutcher and Rich, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Five of Sports Hub. It is Toucher and Rich. Man, I want to watch Celtic Pride now. I kind of want to go back. And
no, it's bad.
It's bad,
it's
but it's good.
Really, really bad.
But that's a bad one that knows what it is. By the way, somebody said Limp Bizkit and Papa Roach fans thought the Boondock Saints was the best. Yeah, that's pretty much kind of a capsule.
I did like Limp Bizkit. Don't start.
I'm not going to kill someone for liking Limp Bizkit, whatever.
Papa Roach had like a song or two.
Papa Roach are like, they're actually good guys. That's one thing I will say about them. And by the way, they went on stage and they would destroy. Like, they actually tried. They weren't just stand up and pay me. They were a decent live band. Okay, just real quick and then I'll wrap us up. The Academy Award for Best Original Screenplay that year that Good Will Hunting won, that Ben Affleck and Matt Damon won, went up against As Good As It Gets. All right, fine. As Good As It Gets wasn't that good. I don't know what Deconstructing Harry is, but Woody Allen was up, so it probably wasn't that great. Full Monty, fine. But it beat out Boogie Nights from Paul Thomas Anderson. Boogie Nights is a classic. Like, Boogie Nights and the writing in that movie is phenomenal. With Dirk Diggler and all the scenes with John C. Reilly, you're telling me that Good Will Hunting was better than Boogie Nights?
Yes, absolutely.
Oh, my God. Yeah,
no, I love Boogie Nights, but come on, what was a better movie? What had a better storyline?
Boogie Nights.
Dirk Diggler, a porn star, or...
No,
or
no. This Joe is where Salty. we part company. Boogie Nights is a great movie.
It's a great movie, and it still lives. This isn't me representing Boston. This is
Goodwill Hunting. Yeah.
No. I'm taking
movie.
The Boston and cat off.
You're blinded because all your dumb buddies said it was a good movie. No, because they
my dumb buddies. never mind.
You watched it, and then you got excited for the Creed halftime show.
Boogie Nights is a better movie than Goodwill Hunting. Rich has been wrong for like the last 25 minutes. This thing he got right.
Boogie Nights is not better than Goodwill Hunting. It's not.
So I think it is.
Of course it is.
I think it is.
Boogie Nights is, first of all, just for Burt Reynolds alone, Boogie Nights is a better movie. Like, are you really going to say that you would take Robin Williams over Burt Reynolds in any day of the week, in any kind of faction
Robin
for
Williams
anything?
Pretty good in that movie.
Oh, my
he
God.
He is. He had a well-deserved win. He won an Academy Award, and he deserved it. But overall, look, Goodwill Hunting is Boogie Nights is a 9.5. I'm not saying it's much better, but it is better.
Is The Town better than The Departed?
No way. Nope. Departed's better.
Yeah, The Departed's probably better, but The Town's really good. They're both really good. Ben Affleck makes pretty good Boston movies. That's the one thing I'll give
him. The Town's good. It's just too much Charlestown in my face. The Cathedral of Boston. We're going to rob the Cathedral of Boston.
Right. Hey, we can all agree, though, that Patriots Day might be the most ridiculous of all.
Oh, it's awful.
That and Fever Pitch.
He's the only cop that knows the streets of Boylston.
And he's everywhere. He's in every situation, stopping everything.
He's at every major moment of the whole marathon thing. Like, he's at the boat when that happens. He happens to be at the finish line when that happens. Like, what jurisdiction does he work for? Like, why? And of course, his name is Tommy Saunders, and he, you know, he's collecting his baseball cards at the beginning. I mean, just it was every stupid stereotype vomiting all over like that movie.
I felt kind of bad for a guy like Kevin Bacon, who's in this movie. He's a very good actor, and just is, you know, he's just kind of there. You know what I'm saying? He's there to defer to Wahlberg.
He's got a wife.
Pissed me off.
Well, yeah, of course. And it was like every single stereotype you could throw on there. But at least we can agree on that. So there you go. See, we're not all that different inside. Each one of us. Kumbaya. All right, let's get to Chris Forsberg. He's going to talk about the upcoming Celtics game. This is going to be interesting because they would really benefit in having this two seed. I don't know if they can get it now, but we'll talk to him about the road to the Eastern Conference Finals and whether or not they can move their standings and how much it would help right after. No commercials, just Joe Murray with the headlines.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling help. HelplineMA.org.
There's always a reason for better health, and here's Carlo with his.
My program with Awaken 180 actually started when my daughter was born, and at that time, I was over 300 pounds. I felt I owed it to her to better myself and my family, of course. And I'll never forget, it was my fourth week. I came in, and my goals for that week were not met. And they found the positive in everything, and that was the biggest thing for me. Awaken 180 has provided me confidence, not only in my day-to-day eating, it's my day-to-day role as a father, as a friend. And that's something that for the longest time, I didn't have.
The benefits are endless after losing weight with Awaken 180. Carlo dropped his 84 pounds, and he did it in under 4 months. Scale results, life results, with the solution for weight loss online at awaken180weightloss.com.
Face it, winter can wreak havoc on your parking lot. And the last thing your customers need is to dodge potholes, which might make them dodge your business altogether. Make sure they don't have bumps on the way to your door by calling U.S. Pavement, 1-800-PAVEMENT. Let U.S. Pavement smooth the road to your door. U.S. Pavement has paved the way for successful businesses all over New England since 1985. Call now, and a member of their expert team will evaluate your site and give you a price that won't leave a hole in your budget. Call U.S. Pavement at 1-800-PAVEMENT or visit uspavement.com.